first, let me thank David Terry and Shamika Spencer for all their help in getting this organized. It's a real honor to speak to you folks. You're the ideal audience for the report that we put together. And we're very glad to get a chance to brief you on it. What I thought I'd do is to describe the report and some of the reasons that went behind it, went into issuing it. There are two organizations involved, both at Stanford. One is the center at the Stanford Law School, which is called the Steyer Taylor Center for Energy Policy and Finance. Dan Riker heads that. He's the director of that center and does a very good job there. And the other organization is the Hoover Institution. George Shultz, our former Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, has a Shultz-Stevenson Task Force on Energy Policy at the Hoover Institution. And he and Jeremy Carl and David Fetter, in particular, are the ones who worked on it from that organization. So we went together and jointly tried to agree on what some of the major policies are at the state level that have promoted energy efficiency and more use of clean energy, renewable energy generally. Of course, I start with a bias that the better we can do with energy efficiency, the better for the country, and the same thing with regard to renewable energy. It's difficult, as you folks know, I'm sure, that to get much progress in Washington these days on these issues, but we believe that states are making progress and that it's useful to try to encourage even more progress at the state level. So the project was to identify what are the most effective and innovative policies that have been and are being implemented in various states. We called it the report the State Clean Energy Cookbook to try to distinguish it from source books and other kinds of publications, but it basically is a discussion of what's involved with these policies. We highlight 12 policies in particular that we think have worked well and are continuing to work. And then we also talk about the Department of Energy State Energy Program and how important that is and how it needs to be strengthened and made even more effective than it has been in the past. The target audience for this report is are the policymakers in the various states, yourselves included, of course, but legislators, governors, public utility commissioners, others who make state policy on these subjects. Now, what we've done is to put the 12 areas or issues we deal with into three different categories. The three categories are energy efficiency policies, second, renewable energy policies, and third, clean energy finance policies. And in each case, what we've done is to go through and use an identical format to discuss each of the policies. And the format basically has six parts. We describe the policy. We make a recommendation, generally a general recommendation for more use of the policy or implementation of it. Third, we give some state examples. Fourth, we discuss some of the benefits that we believe result from this policy. Fifth, we talk about some of the design considerations, since there's so much variety around the country and the way states have adopted some of these policies. And finally, we give a list of additional policy resources or places people can go to find more information about this if they want to pursue one of these policies. Now, Let me just briefly mention what the policies are that we identified, the 12. They're ones that I'm sure are very familiar to everybody at this meeting. Under energy efficiency, we recommend energy efficiency resource standards be adopted and talk about some of what's happened there and some of the variety that's occurred. We talk about energy efficient building codes and the importance of keeping those updated. Give the example of what Mississippi's done as one of the state examples there. We talk about building energy benchmarking and disclosure, and this is for large commercial buildings and large residential buildings. And then we talk about a very general category of utility and customer market incentives, and of course here we're talking about the whole issue of the current business model that historically has been in use by utilities and how there is not sufficient incentive in some cases for attention to energy efficiency, both either on the utility side or on the customer side. And we talk about how some states are taking actions to try to remedy that. On renewable energy itself, we talk, of course, about the RPS, the Renewable Portfolio Standards, and we talk about net energy metering, community renewables, and this really picks up on the solar gardens program that they've implemented in Colorado and now are going forward with in California and Minnesota, perhaps some other states as well. We also talk about a renewable energy tariff, and there talk about both North Carolina and Virginia and how we think it makes good sense where there are large consumers, large users of energy that are willing to cover the cost of additional renewable energy being put, additional renewable energy capacity being installed. We think that's a good thing for public utility commissioners to try to find a way to facilitate. And then under clean energy finance, we also have four subjects, energy saving performance contracts. And there, a lot of states, most states, of course, have laws on the books to promote energy saving performance contracting. But there are lots of problems in the implementing of that. And we try to point some of those out and try to get folks to go and look at that again and see if there isn't a way to get more mileage out of that. We talk about the third-party ownership of distributed power systems and how important it is to permit that. We talk about property-assessed clean energy, our PACE programs, and also on-bill repayment programs. And so that's the 12. And then, as I say, we also try to highlight the importance of this state energy program that the Department of Energy has and urge that the Congress put more funds into that and that more effort be made to take advantage of the resources that are available through that program. So that's the overview. We hope this report is something many of you can use to prompt policymakers in your states to do more in this area. And a touchstone for the report and the whole idea of doing the report that I cited to folks early on was Justice Brandeis's famous statement about how the states are the laboratories of democracy. I think, unfortunately, that is usually interpreted to mean that the federal government should learn from what happens at the state level. And that's certainly true, but I think it also should be interpreted to mean that states should try to learn from what other states are doing. And that's what our report is trying to do, is to be sure that to the extent we can, we're getting information out to states all over the country about what's going on in other states that deserves to be seriously considered. So that's where we came from, and that's where we wound up. I appreciate you giving me a few minutes to explain it to you.